Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Media and Analysts Conference Call and Live Webcast on the acquisition of Backwork and expansion of production capacity. I am Maria, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG, accompanied by Mr. Thomas Eisele, CEO of Food Service. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Michael speaking. I'm very proud to announce today the acquisition of Backwork and an additional initiative to expand our production capacity in our B2B business. With me, as mentioned, is Tobias, our CFO, and Thomas, our CEO of the Food Service division, who will talk you through the details of the transaction. As usual, we uploaded a presentation, and I would suggest we go immediately to page number two, where we share the highlights of today. First of all, with the acquisition of Backwork, we create Germany's leading snack provider. We acquire Backwork with its unique self-service snacking concept with a strong brand recognition in Germany. We will, through that acquisition, become one of the leading franchise platforms in Germany that operates diverse locations, not only at high-frequency rail locations, but also locations in cities, and has proven in the past an ability to expand its business in new geographies. With that acquisition, we will strengthen Valeura's food service competence and capitalize on the global trend of the out-of-home food consumption, and overall will contribute to a margin expansion of Valeura's core business. Furthermore, we announced today the expansion of our production capacity, specifically an investment in our recently acquired Pretzel Baron U.S. production platform, where we will accelerate the penetration of the second largest pretzel market worldwide. We will also expand the production capacity in our existing market in Germany at our German manufacturing plants, and will benefit there further from the strong market momentum in the out-of-home market in general and in the pretzel business specifically. Ultimately, with that expansion of the production capacity, we will further strengthen our vertical integration capabilities in the group. I'm turning now to page number four, where we share four important steps of our buy and build strategy in food service, starting way back in the year 2000 when Valeura initiated the Caffè Spettacolo brand. We are today one of the leading coffee concepts in Switzerland. We have in-house developed organically the Italian-themed coffee bar concept, today operating at 38 highly frequented locations in Switzerland. And furthermore, over the last 18, 24 months, we successfully rolled out coffee modules in more than 650 locations in our own convenience format. We are today one of the leading suppliers of coffee in all the markets we are operating, and specifically with the Backwork acquisition, we will further strengthen our market position in the coffee space. In 2012, as you all know, we acquired Ditch Brettelkönig, an important step back then for Valora as a group, entering the out-of-home market. We built a strong platform with the goal to expand internationally. We have taken the first steps over the last 2 years, entering Austria and France. Again, with Backwerk, we acquire now a platform to further accelerate this expansion. With Ditch being one of the leading global operators and manufacturers in the pretzel production space, we also exploited the benefits and the value creation of a vertically integrated business model. In 2017, in January, we closed the transaction in the U.S. We acquired Pretzel Baron. We established, on the back of already existing strong U.S. Pretzel business that we operated out of our Ditch plant in Germany, we entered the U.S., acquired the existing Pretzel Baron production facility, and with the investment that we announced today, we will further strengthen the operations in Cincinnati and will accelerate the penetration of that market. And ultimately, as I said, very proud to announce today the acquisition of one of the leading self-service snacking concepts in Germany, Backwerk. We are very proud to welcome Backwerk to our Valora group. We will, through this acquisition, strengthen the food service offerings with specifically a broad assortment at rail and city locations. And over the years to come, we're committed to further expand its existing German business and accelerate the international growth of Backwerk. On page number 5, we highlight this landmark acquisition for us in the out-of-home snacking market. We will strengthen the food service competence of the group with a complementary food concept. We will reinforce our capabilities with a prominent franchise snacking concept. We will accelerate the expansion in the attractive and growing out-of-home market, and we will, with the combination of our existing operations in Germany, create the market leader in the German snacking market. Backwerk is a well-known and highly attractive franchise concept. It's one of the best-rated franchise platforms for snacking in Germany, Austria, and the Netherlands. Its operation, based on its franchise model, is asset-light and a profitable franchise model. It's very well diversified, predominantly with a single franchisee base. We have a broad and flexible food assortment, adaptable to the consumer trends in comparison to our Ditch offering, where we are operating in a much more limited, more narrow product range. And based on that, we have Backwerk experience at its locations a significantly higher capture rate, which allows the operation at diverse locations, as I mentioned specifically earlier, the inner city locations. Backwerk also established a franchise platform for the international expansion, where we see significant additional potential for the international growth. We see also Backwerk as an excellent platform to accelerate the Brezelkönig's international expansion that we started in Austria and France, as I mentioned 2 years ago. And ultimately, and quite clearly, Switzerland being our home market, we have a clear ambition to establish Backwerk also as a successful concept in Switzerland. This landmark acquisition is for us a highly synergistic deal. It provides scale, complementary assortment, and a strong addition to our geographic presence, both in a market in Germany where we operate already on a large scale, similar food service concepts under the brand name of Ditch, but also a substantial platform in our convenience business with different locations that will benefit from this Backwerk acquisition. The value creation will be mainly in the combined scale of these platforms, including the cross-selling and the expansion and benefits from the highly complementary geographic footprint. On page number 6, as an overview of the transaction, we acquire Backwerk from the Swedish financial investor EQT and other minority shareholder in a cash acquisition of 100% of its shares. We business is valued in this transaction at an enterprise value of roughly 190 million euros on a cash and debt-free basis. Backwerk is generating in its franchise business model a net revenue of roughly 55 million euros in 2017 and operates at the EBITDA margin of roughly 26% currently. This translates into a EBITDA multiple of roughly 13 times. This is before synergies. Synergies we consider in the single-digit million potential on a yearly basis. Timing, we wait for the whole transaction is subject to approval of the German Bundeskartellamt, and the closing is expected in Q4 2017. As I mentioned earlier, for us, a highly accretive transaction to our growth and margin profile in the group. We've been able to acquire Backwerk from EQT in an exclusive sales process that involved the senior management of Valora, that was a substantial M&A track record built up over the last couple of years, and which was backed in that transaction by an experienced external deal team. And on that note, I would like to hand over to Thomas Eisele. Thomas Eisele is heading for the last 5 years our food service division and will talk you through the details of Backwerk and the benefit of this transaction. Thomas.
Good. Thanks, Michael. I'm happy now to walk you in the next minutes through the Backwerk a little bit more in detail. I'm now turning to page number 7. So Backwerk today operates roughly 340 stores. As we said before, with approximately over 200 million system sales, which then leads to reported sales of roughly 55 million euros. Backwerk today is active in mainly 3 countries. Its roots go back to 2003. Germany today certainly is the strongest market with over 300 stores. And what's important to say here, we are well spread across all 16 states. So certainly Nordrhein-Westfalen as being the home of the concept being a strong state, we see Backwerk throughout all of Germany. Austria, since 2006, today active, operates at 21 stores in 6 cities, and since 2015, Backwerk is active in Netherlands, and has a very good growth momentum in the Netherlands. The concept has been slightly adapted on the assortment to the customer needs in the Netherlands and has a very good growth momentum. Important to say that Bockwerk is a so-called single franchise concept. So the whole concept is focused on single franchisees and for the moment not on institutionals. It has won certain key awards. For example, it's been Franchisor Austrian in 2013 and also won the German Franchisor Award. As Michael mentioned, what we absolutely liked about the concept is it has a complementary footprint on the location. It has approximately 55% on its locations are what we call in city locations. If we would be looking at the ditch concept, it would look differently. We would have a much larger footprint on traffic location. And I think this is a very good complement to our existing POS. It's headquartered in Mainz, it's headquartered in Essen here. It has approximately over 100 people working here. I'm turning now to page 8. The business model is simple, scalable, and it's depending on strong partners and suppliers. On the one hand side, we have Bockwerk as a franchisor, which delivers the concept, the brand, the know-how, all the recipes. On the other side, we have the three pillars, which consist of the franchise partners, the so-called franchisees, which between the franchisor and the franchise partners, you have a typical franchise agreement. Important, the investments are taken over by the franchisee. This is why it's an asset-light business model. The franchisee pays then a franchise fee to the franchisor. On the supplier side, to kind of grasp the economies of scales, Bockwerk, as the franchisor, negotiates the terms and chooses the suppliers of the product. This is important to pool volumes in order that the franchisee has a very good purchasing price of the product. The logistic chain, so delivery of the product from the supplier to the franchisee and also the payment is between the franchisee and the suppliers directly. So a big part of the complexity of the model is outsourced to our strong partners. Maybe at this point it's very important to mention that it's the more or less the same business logic as we have it already in our Bretzelkönig and our ditch concept. It's a deep frozen concept. It's a deep frozen logistic. It's pre-proofed doughs or fully baked products, but all are deep frozen. So we can spread out internationally. This is why also Netherlands is supplied by German manufacturers. Last but not least, we have the landlords. And here it's important that the lease agreements predominantly are between Bockwerk as the franchisor and the landlords, but the lease payment is then handed over to the franchisee. I think this, as we look at it, is a very scalable and simple business model. If we turn to page number 9, what we like about Bockwerk is the successful rebranding and the successful repositioning of the brand in today of a young, fresh, innovative lifestyle convenience concept. Again, its roots were a discount bakery. It started off with a self-service discount bakery focusing on very simple, basic products. It was price entry level, and then over the years, as of course competition became more from the Aldis and the Lidls on simple product, changed its nature into the 2014, the Is Frischer, which turned into assortment which was more snacking oriented. So away from the simple product, they started to finish snacks, also here very similar to what we see at Bretzelkönig and also at the Ditch, baking off and finishing off snacking products. And then into the 2010 newly launched concept and the brand message, Feel Good Food. Today, with a strong out-of-home focus, with an assortment that is enormously innovative and can be adapted, it can be adapted to new trends to broaden the customer base. Of course, the capabilities of the operation changed over the years, and we also said we therefore able to create more value at the POS. We had an increase in the average ticket because of the more finished and more valued snacks products. If we turn to page number 10, today with Backwork, we are, as Michael mentioned before, number one snack provider in Germany. We have a combined system revenue of approximately 270 million euros, which puts us as number one. It's a clear continuation and a consequent continuation of Alora's successful buy and build strategy, as before explained by Michael. And, of course, we expect a yearly single-digit synergy potential. We have, of course, with the combination of Backwork to the existing food service platform, a larger scale. We see, therefore, just to point out a few examples, we certainly are looking into synergies in the area of purchasing, but also in common logistics. Our POS network today has quite some overlap if we look at the location, so therefore also we'll be looking at the logistic. The second point is certainly the cross-selling. We'll be happy to share our private label OK for Backwork because we think it's a perfect price fit and brand message also to Backwork. And as Michael mentioned before, our vertical integrated competence. So we certainly will also open up product range from Deitch to Backwork, so that Backwork hopefully soon will sell the best pretzels available worldwide. Furthermore, also on the expansion side, we definitely want to fit the best concept in the available POS network. Again, we run now over 2,800 POS. This certainly opens up opportunities to put in new Backworks. And especially, as Michael said, we have a very strong food service organization in Switzerland. And on top of this organization, we're certainly looking on rolling out Backwork into the Swiss market. Furthermore, Backwork is today active in Netherlands, as I mentioned before. We certainly see more growth in Netherlands and also in Austria. Furthermore, we will certainly deep dive a little bit more into the details and evaluate new markets in which Backwork can be expanded. Our Bettelkönig international expansion will certainly be combined now with the already strong organizational footprint of Backwork in Austria, and we'll certainly be looking at Netherlands to see if the Bettelkönig international concept would be right for the consumers. What is important to say that the current top management, so Mr. Braukmann, a CFO, and our CFO of Backwork, Mrs. Weiss, will stay on board. We had a great conversations with them during the due diligence. They share our visions. They're fully motivated to go with us on our plan. The headquarters will remain here in Essen. On the bottom, just to lay out, we see our today's iconic brands. The iconic brands of retail and certainly also the iconic brand of food service as we see today with Switzerland, Bretzelkönig and Café Spectacular. Hopefully soon we can add also Backwork then also as a logo on the Swiss map. In Germany, Backwork and Deitch, again, number one in Germany with a combined system sales of over 270 million euros. In the U.S., the Pretzel Baron, and again in Austria, Netherlands, and in France, we have Backwork and Bretzelkönig. I would then move over and give you some more insights of the expansion of our production capacity. I'll be moving over now to page number 12. The pretzel market, the fundamental pretzel market in the U.S. and in Germany, and again, these are the two largest pretzel markets worldwide, and interestingly enough, the two of those are more or less the same size in terms of volumes. It had a growth since 2012 till 2016 of roughly 3.5% on an annual basis in the out-of-home market. The out-of-home market defined of being on the go, eating, it's all what is not consumed at home, which is defined as in-home market. For us, the out-of-home market, a ditch and a pretzel barn, is our core sales channel. We're basically not active in the in-home market, so typically you don't find a lot of ditch or pretzel barn products in the freezer cabinet of large retailers. We see that in our ditch B2B business, we grew in the same period for 2012 to 2016 on an annual growth rate of 13%. So we had a very strong momentum in the growth in our B2B business. Also, the outlook of the market as we see it today, we're very positive that the positive momentum of the out-of-home market will continue. We expect that the market will continue to grow at the 5 to 7% volume, not revenue, volume on an annual basis. The pretzels today in the DACH region, defined as Germany, Austria, Switzerland, is a well-established product category. It's roughly about 3.5% on the total bakery consumption is pretzel. So, in other words, in Germany, every inhabitant eats roughly 2 kilograms of pretzels a day. In the U.S., we'd be looking at roughly half a kilogram a person. But also, we see that the export market, and as a matter of fact, it grew 24% annually since 2012, that the export region, which we define anything else than the DACH region, grows very nicely, and also pretzel there have a growing speciality category. On page number 13, we outline that we wanted to invest in the next 2 years, 550 million euros in the next 2 years, in our capacities in Germany, especially in Oranienbaum, in where we will add a new production building, because the existing production building you see on the picture is full. We have 8 industrial lines already in place, and we will add to the already ready terrain to the left a new production building, and we'll add a new frozen product warehouse. In addition, we will, of course, have a new industrial line. And secondly, the second footprint of growth will be the U.S. Pretzel Baron, we closed the deal in January. Since then, we experienced a nice growth. We are absolutely on plan. We're super happy with the acquisition. It absolutely feels right from the organization, but also from the market. And there, we're very confident, so that we want to add up the capacity. As already laid out in January, we have in place today 1 existing production line. We will increase the capacity of the existing line, and furthermore, we will add a second industrial line in the existing buildings. Both these projects, so in Germany and the U.S., should be finished and have a going live in the second quarter 2019. It's important to say that these 50 million euros will then certainly significantly enhance our ROCE after the ramp-up phase. And now I would like to hand over to Tobias, who will walk you through the financing and guidance part.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, as well from my side. We're turning to page number 15. The title, of course, already says the main point. Despite the additional investment that we're making, despite the acquisition of Backwerk, we intend to maintain at the end of the refinancing our leverage ratio below 2.5 times EBITDA. So what are we planning to do? We do not only have the capacity expansion and the acquisition of Backwerk, but we also have next year, in the coming months, the refinancing of the 2.5% straight bond that becomes due. We also have the hybrid bond of 4%, which would incur a 5% step up as of October of next year, which of course is not that attractive in the current environment. So adding all that up plus the acquisition, we have a rough financing need of a bit over $500 million to make until the end of next year. So the goal on our side is to maintain strategic flexibility by keeping the EBITDA leverage ratio below 2.5 times. And of course, we also want to take advantage of the attractive market conditions. What should be said on that page as well is that the financing of the acquisition is not depending on any of these refinancings, as we still have the syndicated loan, which is undrawn at that time, and will help us together with liquidity to make the acquisition of Backwerk. So how do we plan to then finance this $500 million? We're now turning to page number 16. We're planning to make almost a full refinancing until the end of next year. If I start on the left-hand side in the chart at the bottom, it will, in a first step, be a rights issue of approximately $150 million planned still for this year. We're planning, therefore, as it is above the conditional capital that we're having, we're planning, therefore, an extraordinary general meeting for November of this year, and we'll send the invitation out to shareholders in due course. Beyond that, we're planning relatively classical a $200 million bond to be issued between Q4 of this year and Q3 of next year, and a euro debt of roughly 100 million euros, so 110 million Swiss francs. All this then does not yet add up to the figure on the previous side. The rest will be financed by liquidity and as well reminder part of the syndicated loan that we're having, the credit facility agreement, adding then finally up to 530 million round the bay. The debt instruments that we're planning is on the Swiss side very likely to be a bond, a conventional bond, and on the euro side it could well be again a bonded loan, so the so-called Schuldscheindarlehen, where we had made very positive experiences, but in terms of instruments and details of it, we'll of course give more information at a later stage. But if that all plays out as planned, you see on the right-hand side how our debt maturity profile will look like after the transaction and all the refinancing, and I think that shows a very solid profile, both in terms of maturity, in terms of instrument, investor base, etc., with nothing else to refinance until 2019, where a small portion of the old Schuldscheindarlehen becomes due for 78 million euros, and then the other debt instruments coming clearly later, and the new ones then having a maturity profile of probably 2022 or later. With that, we'd still ensure that we have a liquidity reserve. So by the end of that, the syndicated loan will only be partially drawn. And with the leverage ratio below 2.5 times, if all plays out this way, we maintain the strategic flexibility for the group. With this, we'll all already come to the last page of our presentation on page 17. The guidance and the impact for shareholders, and here I would like to start with the bottom, the impact for the shareholders. As well, from my side, I'm convinced that the acquisition of Backwerk is a landmark acquisition for us, very strategic, important step with all in all highly attractive financials that will lead to a margin improvement for the entire Valora group. It positions us extremely well as number one snack provider in Germany and increases the food service contribution to the group, and as mentioned as well, lays the ground for further internationalization of all of our concepts. Finally, we plan to be EPS accretive already as from 2019, after the capital increases, which shows that that capital increase also makes a lot of sense from our point of view. What does that mean in terms of EBIT guidance? Well, first of all, midterm, it is the plan to double the Bachwerk EBITDA by 2022 at the latest. We have a small asterisk on EBIT A, so earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization, as the final contribution to the bottom line, so to the EBIT, will depend on the amortization depending on the purchase price allocation. However, on EBIT A level, the plan is to double it by 2022 with the following drivers. First of all, store openings of 1,800 stores gross. There will be like-for-like growth as well, driven by an average ticket size increase and as well a better capture rate of footfall. And finally, and not least, we plan to have operational leverage, adding very little to the cost despite the store openings. And of course, we'll realize the synergy. Eventually, on the real EBIT guidance, short term, we are confirming the 2017 guidance of 79 million plus minus 3 million. Bachwerk this year is contributing as of the moment of closing, sometimes in October. However, as we'll also have some transaction costs, these will overcompensate the contribution of Bachwerk, which then will fully contribute to the group's result as of 2018. And with that, I would like to close the presentation and hand over to Michael.
Thank you very much, Tobias and Thomas. With that, we conclude the presentation part, and we would open up the Q&A session.
The first question comes from Alain Oberhuber, MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Alain Oberhuber, MainFirst. I have three questions. The first is regarding capacity utilization. After the full investments you have done, how much will be then the capacity utilization? And how much is the capacity utilization at the moment? And after the investments, how long can you fill up the factories until you have to do further investments? That's the first question. The second is regarding outsourcing. Do you also outsource some of the products to other players? And if so, could you name us these players? Could it be Bimbo or Eastbold or Arista? And the third question is regarding amortization on your EBITDA, the Bachwerk EBITDA. What is the amortization? How much is that number?
Thank you very much for this question, Ms. Oberhuber. On the first two related to the capacity expansion, I will quickly hand over to Thomas, but just as a general remark, we have not and will not do so in the future, commented in details on our utilization and capacity planning. I think for quite obvious reasons, but I would like to hand over to Thomas to give you an idea in terms of how significant the investment is and what it means ultimately for us in terms of flexibility going forward to serve new clients and also to adapt our product portfolio.
Mm-hmm. So to your first question, I think today's utilization rate, let me phrase it this way. Since 2012 and 16, we have done, of course, investment in enhancing the capacity of the existing line, but have so far not increased by new production lines, unless the acquisition of Pretzelbauer in the U.S. So therefore, we have grown, as I mentioned before, 13% on net revenue on an annual basis for the last 5 years. I think we're now at the stage where we don't have any more the flexibility to onboard new customers, and we're limiting ourselves in growth. This is why we decided now in Germany to put in the investment. It will consist, I'll be a little bit more precise, on a production hall on a new production hall, which will fit in a first stage two lines. We're only planning at the moment one line. So therefore, we're flexible. If we see that customer demand is even stronger than expected, we can put in even a second line in the production building. So that is the part from the production building. The new line, just to give you, that's a classical line, will add approximately 2.5 tons an hour of capacity. That's roughly the capacity we can output. On the US, it's roughly the same. It's about the same capacity with the new line, and the existing line is coming also to its capacity end already next year. I think that will be the answer to your question regarding the utilization.
Thank you, Thomas. In terms of outsourcing, we do not outsource, and we quite obviously do not comment on any relationship with other suppliers. Maybe to hand over on the third part of your question to Tobias.
Yes, thank you, Michael. So the amortization is not yet clear at that stage. We'll make the purchase price allocation in due course after the closing and discuss that with our auditors. We will activate, of course, part of the immaterial value, probably the franchisee contract. And as you know, it always depends on how much goodwill you want to keep on the balance sheet versus how much you do amortize. That is always more art than science. Therefore, a bit difficult to tell exactly the exact value will come out. However, I would plan with a low to mid single digit million figure on the amortization side, which obviously is non-cash.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your questions.
The next question comes from Marco Strittmatter, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I wonder, your EBIT guidance, on the one hand you say it's still 79 million, then on the other hand you say that the integration or the transaction cost for Backwerk will overcompensate its EBIT contribution, so the number that comes out in the end on your income statement might be below the current range. Am I understanding this correct?
Good morning, Marco. Tobias. No, we said we're sticking to the 79 plus minus 3 million despite the probable overcompensating of what comes out of Backwerk. So we'll swallow, if you so will, the project cost. So we're maintaining it, but there's no positive contribution on a net effect coming from Backwerk in 2017.
Okay, so that means without the Backwerk acquisition, you would have had a better EBIT than previously guided.
No. It's still, no? We're not changing. It's simply 79 million plus minus the 3 million. So we stick to that, and you know, the slight potential slight overcompensation of Backwerk simply now is a rounding. So we say, basically, you know, to make it very rough, Backwerk contributes somewhat, project costs are somewhat higher, but it's not worth adjusting the guidance because of that.
So we are. The overcompensation is not that a big number in this case.
Correct.
Not millions. Let's keep it at that. And then, will you still incur transaction or integration costs in next year? Because you say it will be only accretive in 2019, or?
No. There's no major acquisition or integration cost to be planned next year. That is simply the development. There's one main reason for that. It's the hybrid bond, of course, which becomes due in October. That has a big impact as we're making capital increase already this year and have the full refinancing in place by the end of next year. The roughly 5 million that goes still out to the hybrid bond owners, of course, has an impact, and therefore the EPS accretion is only visible in 2019.
Okay. All clear then. And if you look a few years out, the strategy of Valora, would you maybe also consider to again sell some parts of the company, or are you still buying new formats? I mean, yeah, it's early days, and you just announced something now, but yeah.
In the region, give it a break.
I mean, no. What I the question is really: but will you keep your traditional
holiday
kiosk business?
So, Marco, it's Michael speaking. Thank you for that question. I mean, quite clearly, we always said we focus the business on the core business, and what you see today, that is our core business. Yeah. Feel very happy with all the elements we operate in that business. We gave now a quite clear long-term outlook. We want to invest in the out-of-home market. Food is becoming is gaining in importance throughout the group on both sides, on the manufacturing side, but also the integration of our own brands, development of the own brand portfolio, as Thomas has mentioned, that we can use across the different formats. Definitely coffee being one of the driver and most important products that we can leverage across all the formats and the whole platform. So, I mean, there is definitely an appetite now to digest what we just acquired, to develop the platform further. And as I said, we're very happy with all the businesses we are currently operating, and therefore we are also investing in all parts of the business.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from René Weber von Tobel. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. I just have some additional question on Backwerk itself. Could you tell us a little bit how the growth was in the last few years? I just had one number. 2012 was 162. Now it's 209, so which means 29%, roughly 5% per annum. Could you tell us how much was like-for-like and how much was expansion? And then you mentioned the 80 to 100 openings. Do you give us a split up where it should be, how many should be in Switzerland? I can remember one in Stadelhofen. I think that's not there anymore. And then perhaps the last one, you mentioned Netherlands was started 2015. Is there just one franchisee or are there several ones? And the same is true for Austria. When did it start, and is there one franchisee? And is also planned, if going further on in Switzerland as an example, should there be one franchisee or several franchisees? I don't have I have even an additional one. In terms of product, could you tell us a little bit what kind of products Backwerk has? Is there already a product coming from Ditch, or how much makes the Brezel up in Backwerk?
Thank you, René, for these questions. I mean, first of all, in terms of growth, what we see is that in terms of expanding the network, we had roughly 25% growth over the last 5 years in terms of number of stores. This includes also the international expansion, and we see that we can continue definitely on that rate. Here, important to understand, because Backwerk is not limited to rail locations, we have far more flexibility also in the German market to further grow the business in city locations. I mentioned that we definitely have a big appetite to take the concept to Switzerland. You point out correctly that Backwerk is already active in Switzerland, not anymore at Stadelhofen, but two other locations in Winterthur and Schaffhausen. And I think we see definitely opportunities to improve the Backwerk presence in Switzerland, being part now of the Valora family. So in terms of growth, we see definitely, or the Valora plans definitely sees an opportunity to continue the growth that the network has experienced over the last 5 years. In terms of breaking that down to specific regions, we are not ready to share that, but quite clearly, Netherlands has a very strong growth momentum. We have a very good Bakwerk team there on the ground. The market is definitely ready for this kind of concept, so we have already proof of concept. The current openings operate at a very strong like-for-like growth, and we are extremely optimistic about the market development overall in the Netherlands. Same applies to Austria, and definitely we are sure that we can also grow the business well beyond what has been realized in the past in Switzerland. So this is as far as we go in terms of breakdown currently, and the 25%, that's roughly what is translated in these 82 to 100 stores that we mentioned. In terms of franchise business model, we, as Thomas explained, operate today, or Bakwerk operates today, a single franchise strategy, a strategy that helps to enhance the entrepreneurial focus and spirit in the network, a concept that works very well here in Switzerland, but in Germany, excuse me, but also in the Netherlands and Austria. We would not exclude that we also look into potential partnerships with strategic operators, but we're not ready to announce that at this stage yet. But you can assume that we would consider these kinds of partnerships, in be it in selective markets or be it in selected regions in existing markets. In terms of your last question, in terms of product, I would like to hand over to Thomas, who can briefly talk you through. Also, again, here, important thing to understand is that Bakwerk, over the last years, went through quite a transition from being an operator of a simple bakery concept to a full out-of-home consumption self-service concepts with far more sophisticated products than you probably have seen a couple of years ago in Stadelhof.
Good. Let me just, in the light of time, give you a quick answer on the process. Typically, we have what we call like a roughly a 25% of what we call simply simple base product. So you have like bread, baguettes, buns, croissants, and also pretzel. Your second question, no, unfortunately, is not our pretzel so far. So the lady at the purchasing department is a very tough cookie. So, but I'm happy. Hopefully, we will soon have a ditch pretzel. 75% of it, what we call kind of more out-of-home assortment, which is sandwiches, snacks, but also hot snacks. And I think it's very important. We haven't touched this yet, but Bakwerk is one of the main coffee sellers here in Germany. Just to give you a number, we have over 25 million units sold of coffee just at Bakwerk. So, and if you come add up now also Ditch and would add up also the rest of our Valora food service, but also kiosk, we are probably one of the largest coffee sellers per unit out in the market. And I think that's very important to mention. I think that will answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rene, for your question.
Next question comes from Patrick Hasenbühler, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I have a question to three topics. First, could you please give us some additional insight into the history of Bakwerk? What did the Swedish financial investor EQT pay for Bakwerk, and why did sell it, or and who did sell it to EQT, and why? Second topic, what are the expected CapEx figures for the whole Valora Group for 2017, 18, and 19? And third topic, does the dividend payment policy remain unchanged?
Thank you, Patrick, for these questions. I mean, to your first question, EQT acquired the business from its founders, Mr. Limmer and Mr. Schneider. And, I mean, reason why the founders sold was was probably driven by assuming a strong financial partner to accelerate the growth, specifically in the international expansion. I think you understand EQT is a traditional private equity fund with a traditional private equity logic. So after 4 years, I think it became quite clear that EQT starts to considering at least an exit of that business, and we are very pleased and proud that we were able to negotiate that exit in a exclusive process instead in a typical auction situation that you usually see in these type of exit scenarios with private equity owners. So this should answer the first part of your question, and for the question number two and three, I would like to hand over to Tobias.
Thanks, Michael. On the CapEx, or I think you also asked for this year. This year, we plan to stay in the region of 60 million, probably slightly below 60 million. We'll have then, obviously, for next year, 2018 and 2019, we will be affected by the increase or the additional capex that we just mentioned. So the 50 million will be roughly evenly split between the 2 years. So you can add 20 to 25 million on each year out of the rough guidance that we had of roughly 60 to slightly above that. If you add that, that will give you a capex figure of probably between 80 and 90 million. However, note of caution, we are, of course, in the middle of the planning cycle for the rest of the business, and that will be communicated as well in great depth with the full year figure, but I think for now that is a pretty good figure to work from. As for the dividend policy, we're sticking to the current dividend policy.
Thank you.
Our last question comes from Felix Remmer, Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everyone. One question again on the like-for-like projection or past, you know, of Backwerke would be of interest. So what was the same store sales, for example, for Backwerke in 2016, maybe H1 17? And then on the sales which Backwerke generates, so external sales are a bit over 200, but the reported sales are net sales are some 55 million euros. That seems to me a very high, you know, franchise fee you charge to the franchisees. Is that correct, or how should we think about how Backwerke generates the sales in the end?
Thank you, Felix, for your question. Maybe starting with the last question, important here to understand in the net revenues, rents are included, which we charge to the franchisee. As you have seen on the overview of the business model, Backwerke is holding all the lease agreement, which is one of the strengths of that franchise concept. So they control all the locations over the rent, and that rent, quite obviously, is charged to the franchisee in a type of sublease agreement, so is not part, obviously, of a franchise fee. And therefore, the number on a total basis seems to be quite high, but bear in mind, rent is included in the 55. So that's number one. And number two, in terms of like-for-like growth, I would like to hand over to Thomas to briefly elaborate on the past. But again, here, we have an impact from the transition, specifically in the German market, towards out-of-home consumption. So substantial parts of the product categories have been excluded from the assortment or discontinued. The new products have been added, and these new products have extremely strong like-for-like growth. So Thomas with that.
Yes, thanks, Mike. Actually, you already gave the answer. So the transition to the out-of-home assortment snacking has already been fulfilled. So we are see as a projected a good momentum, certainly a positive like-for-like growth. We're looking at the 1% to 2% this year. As Michael said, certainly the in-home part, simple products are a little bit under pressure, but a strong momentum on the whole snacking sandwiches part, and also coffee is doing very strong.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Felix.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions.
Thank you very much. So with that, we would like to conclude today's conference call. I thank you very much for participating. The management team, Tobias, Thomas, myself, we were very pleased and proud today to share this news with you. And we hope to catch up with you personally very soon, and wish you a very good day. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.